Today, we'd like to see the title of the branch of righteousness in Jeremiah chapter 32 and chapter 33. To the souls of this online world through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number one, in chapter 32, verse 6, and Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord come to me, saying," how did he know God's saying in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 32, verse 12, and I gave the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Mahaseiah, in the presence of Hanamei, my uncle's son, or nephew, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. What does it mean in this context, and what can we learn from here? Last question, in chapter 33, verse 15. In those days and that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall eject judgment and righteousness in the earth. What does it mean, and how can we apply this to our lives? In the last time, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 40, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields as bright as the brook Kidron, to the corner of the house of gates toward the east, shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down anymore forever. Jerusalem will be rebuilt and set apart as holy to the Lord, never to be overthrown again. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 10, 11, cross reference. Verses 1 to 5, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Why do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him," said the Lord. "Though you fight with galleons, you shall not succeed." Zedekiah reigned 11 years, and Jerusalem fell in the 11th year, cross reference there. Therefore, Jeremiah 32 occurred 1 year before the fall over Jerusalem. During the final Babylon siege, Jeremiah was imprisoned because he declared that the city would be taken, Zedekiah would be captured. And resistance would fail. His counsel was that the surrender would preserve life, while continued rebellion would only increase suffering. So cross-reference all over there. So verses 6 to 8, here question 1, verse 6. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamai, the son of Shallum, your uncle will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the night redemption, is yours to buy it. Then Hanamai, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours, buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Discerning God's will often comes through the inward witness of God's Spirit and through confirmation by His Word. As believers continue with God, He can impress truth upon the heart and then confirm it through circumstances and scripture. Spiritual maturity develops the ability to distinguish what is from the Lord, what is merely human thoughts. That cross-reference right there. Verses 9 to 12. So I bought the field from Hanamai, his nephew, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him and the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I assigned the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scale. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neri, son of Mahesa, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of witnesses who signed the purchase deed before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. God commanded Jeremiah to buy a field in Anathoth while Jerusalem was under siege. Humanly speaking, it appeared to be a poor investment since the land was later threatened by Babylon. Yet Jeremiah obeyed publicly as an act of faith, showing confidence that God would one day restore his people to the land. Hananiah's request confirmed the word already given to Jeremiah. This is circumstances. The right of redemption by near reality also reflects the biblical principles of kinship with him. That's cross-reference right there, that's scripture. Ultimately pointing to Christ, who became man in order to redeem humanity. Christ redeemed man. 13 up to 15. Then I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed, which is sealed, and this deed, which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields, and the vineyard shall be possessed again in this land. Jeremiah placed both sealed and unsealed deeds in an earthen jar for long preservation. This sign declares that houses, fields, and vineyard would again be bought in Judah after the exile. Though judgment was near, restoration would follow according to God's promise. That's cross-reference there, Jeremiah 21, 10 to 14. 16 up 25. Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neri, this is the party independent, disinterested party, I prayed to the Lord, saying, our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into bosom their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is in the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day, and Israel and among other men, and you have made yourself or name as it is this day. You have brought to your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and took a possession of it, but they have not obeyed your voice or worked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore you have caused all this calamity to come upon them. Look at the 6 months. They have come to the city to take it, and the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans to fight against it, because of the sword and famine and pestilence. What you have spoken has happened. There you see it. And you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. So let's see explanation. After the vain Jeremiah prayed through his confusion, he affirmed that God is creator, all-powerful, just all-seeing, and redeemer. By recounting God's character and mighty acts, Jeremiah strengthened the faith before presenting his questions. When believers doubt God's wisdom, it is wise to remember what is already known of His nature. Worship steadies the heart before answer comes. When you pray, so you know it's God's character, all things to God, you know, through praying, God give comfort and give direction. 26:35. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And he shall take it, and the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to this city, burning, with the houses under whose roofers they have offered incense to Baal, and poured out drink offerings to other gods, to provoke me to anger. Because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their king, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned to me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early, teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of the Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Moloch, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. God answered that nothing is too hard for him. Jerusalem would indeed be delivered to Babylon because of persistent rebellion, idolatry, defilement of his house. The people turned their backs on him, practiced abominations, and even offered their children to Moloch in the valley of Hinnom. Such sins brought righteous judgment upon Judah. That's God's answer. 36:39. Now therefore, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered in the, now is God's answer, into the hand of the king of Babylon, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. Though judgment was certain, God promised the future regathering, restoration. He would bring His scattered people back, cause them to dwell safely, and renew covenant fellowship. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. He would give them one heart, one way, so they might fear Him always. God's power is given to accomplish His purposes, not merely human desires. Colossians 40:42. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this purpose, so I'll bring on them all the good that I have promised them. God promised an everlasting covenant in which He would not turn away from doing good to His people. He would place reverence for Himself in their heart, so they would not depart from Him. As surely as He brought judgment, so surely He would bring blessing, restoration too. So that one is really blessing. 43:44. So fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is desolate, without man or beast. It has been given into the hand of Galileans. Men will buy fields for money, sign these, seal them, and take witness in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivities to return, says the Lord. The land once desolate would again see legal purchase of fields throughout the Benjamin, Jerusalem, Judah, the hill country, the lowlands, and the Negev. Jeremiah's purchase was therefore a prophetic sign that God's final purpose for His people was restoration, not destruction. So chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of prison, saying, while Jeremiah remained confined in the court of the guard, the word of the Lord came again. God's plan to restore Jerusalem arose from His covenant mercy and sovereign purpose, not because the people deserved it. Though Babylon would destroy the city, restoration would come after exile and in God's future kingdom purpose as well. So near future, far future, obviously. 2:3. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, establish it. The Lord is His name. Call to me, and I will answer you, show you great mighty things which you do not know. The Lord identified Himself as a creator and finisher of His purposes, then invited Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Ignorant King James Version. God is ready to hear prayer, but His people must ask in humility and dependence upon the Lord. Prayer acknowledges what belongs to God's dominion, which cannot be controlled by human strength. 4:6. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the house of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege, mounds and the sword. They come to fight with Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men, whom I will stay in my anger and my fury, for whose wickedness I have hidden my face from the city. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them, reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Because of Judah's sin, Jerusalem would be filled with death and ruin. Yet God promised to bring healing, cleansing, peace, and truth. Sin had made the nation spiritually sick, but the Lord alone could cure the disease that destroyed them. Isaiah 5 and 6, that's a close reference. 7 to 9, and I will cause the captives of Judah, the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquities, by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, by which they have sinned, and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. God would restore both Judah and Israel, clean them from their sin, forgive their iniquity, and make Jerusalem a praise among the nations. The city once known for disgrace would become known for joy, honor, and the display of God's mercy. 10 to 11. Thus said the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you say, it is desolate, without man and without beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man and without inhabitants, without beast. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of bride, the voice of those who will say. Streets once silent and desolate would again be filled with the voice of joy, bridegroom and bride, and songs of thanksgiving. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. That's why giving thanks. Praise would rise again in Jerusalem. In New Testament, praise is described as the sacrifice of the lips. Hebrews 12:13. Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause captivity, the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. 12:13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place, which is desolate, without men, without beasts, and in all its cities, there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of mountains, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the place around Jerusalem, and in the city of Judah, the flocks shall again pass under the hands of him who counts them. Desolate lands would again have shepherds, resting flocks, and sheep would once more pass under shepherds' hand for counting. These images portray the peace, order, and pastoral restoration under God's care. That is a future millennial kingdom, so we can see. 14 up to 16, here question 3, verse 15. Behold, the days are coming, said the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and that time, I will cause it to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall exact judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. God promised to fulfill his good word by raising up the righteous branch from David. This points to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In his first coming, he established righteousness in believing heart. In his second coming, he will rule with justice over the earth. Jerusalem will be called the Lord our righteousness. All cross reference right there. 17 up to 18. For thus says the Lord, David shall have lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offering before me, to kindle grain offering and to sacrifice continually. God promised the continuing validity of a Davidic and priestly covenant. Christ perfected, fulfilled both offices as eternal King and High Priest. Through him, believers now have direct access to God and continual intercession through Jesus Christ. So today, the priest is all Christians. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, just says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne with the labor to priest my midst, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured. So will I multiply descendants of David my servant and Levite who minister to me. As certain as the day follows the night, so certain are God's covenant. If the order of creation cannot be broken, neither can his promise to David and his servants, God will multiply his people beyond human counting, like the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. Genesis chapter 22:17, cross-reference. 23:26, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, have you not considered what these people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he has also cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, as if they should no more be a nation before them. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinance of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendant of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. For I will cause their captives to return, will have mercy on them. Some claim that God had rejected his chosen people, but the Lord denies it. Just as the fixed laws of heaven and earth remain, so his covenant with Jacob, David remains. He would restore the captives and show mercy. God's promise stands as firmly as the sunrise. So cross-reference right there. So somebody in a plane, so God keeps the word. So we covered all three questions. Continue to keep on prayer for all missionaries. So today is a prayer for Moldova, Ukraine, Russia, Syria, also Christians and churches. Continue to keep on prayer for them. Also the last poem, from confusion to comfort in Christ. So for you. So let's sing all together Maranatha song on brochure.